On today's episode of The Good Word, Dan Titus joins me to discuss the NBA slow drip of the schedule is coming out. What are some of the opening week games and Christmas Day games that catches our eye, along with Michael Porter Jr. running his mouth a little too much again, MVP predictions, and who should have a podcast. All that and much more coming up right now. Welcome to The Good Word. My name is Vincent Goodwill, senior NBA reporter for Yahoo Sports. A bit of business before we get into today's show. We are, of course, on YouTube, so don't forget, rate, review, subscribe to us. There's what's all the places you consume your audio podcast. Sorry I gave y'all a week off from this. It was the NAABJ convention in Cleveland, Ohio. It sounds as exciting as you can imagine. My man Dan Titus is joining me today. What's going on, Dan?
What's up, Vin? Wish I could have been there in Cleveland. Nah, actually, I'm looking forward to Houston and Atlanta. I'll mess with NABJ when we back in the real cities.
Yeah, I mean, I have nothing against the Midwest. The weather was actually really good. There wasn't like rain or anything crazy like that happening. It was like 82 degrees every day, which I know some people don't like the heat. I don't mind. I'd rather be hot than cold. I will give. Cleveland had a couple little restaurants. We went back to the House of Blues for a sports party. So some things went right. Okay. But Atlanta's going to be popping. Houston's going to be insane. So, yeah, that's what we got coming down the pike. On today's show, of course, the schedule release. The drip, drip, drip of schedule releases coming out. We're going to give you a few predictions for the coming season individual awards and breakout teams, as well as Michael Porter Jr. continuing to put his foot firmly in his mouth. But first, Dan, the leaks of the schedule are coming out directly from the NBA. We got to see it on Good Morning America and the Today Show with the partnership now with the NBA on NBC a little later this afternoon on Wednesday. Some of the Amazon slates will begin to be revealed by the time you hear this. I'm sure it will already be out. But opening week, you got to see what the NBA thinks of opening week. What, if anything, jumped out to you? Was it, or I'll tell you what jumped out to me initially, was they are trying to make this Cleveland New York Knicks thing a thing. They're like, y'all, we don't have any team worth a damn in the Eastern Conference that we can bank on. Cleveland was the number one team end to end in the regular season. They just happened to flame out in the second round. The New York Knicks wound up getting to the Eastern Conference Finals for the first time since 2000. If we're going to pump Knicks, we're going to pump Knicks. So do we see the Knicks-Cavs thing becoming a thing, or is this just the best of a bad bunch?
I think it's the best of the bad bunch. I mean, I think that the NBA pretty much told you everything you need to know about the competition in the Eastern Conference without Jason Tatum, without Tyrese Halliburton. And who knows what the Sixers are going to look like. They're going through it right now, and the season hasn't even started. So, you know, you're talking about three teams that pretty much dominated or at least been a top seed playoff contending team in the Eastern Conference. So right now, you know, Cleveland, New York, Orlando, I think they're still trying to market Paolo, but I think they could do a little bit better with that. They're going to be a better team now that they got Desmond Bane and Jason Richardson in the draft. And then you have the Atlanta Hawks, but they're going through their own drama with not wanting to pay Trae Young his extension that he feels like he deserves. So I don't know. I think it's now it's, you know, marquee events. Most of the best teams, the most popular teams now are on the Western Conference. That's why they scheduled it out that way.
Anything that strikes out to you that you're like, you know what? Like is the Oklahoma City Houston game where ring trophy night, banner night for the Oklahoma City Thunder, and you're doing it in front of Kevin Durant. Like, I understand they're trying to get the emotions and the feels out of Kevin Durant. Yeah. Do they not know that this man has no feels? Like, he has Twitter feels, but he's not going to be out here feeling a kind of way because Oklahoma City, the team that he left a decade ago, y'all, a decade ago. He left there a decade ago. I think we need to appreciate the fact that Kevin Durant has been gone from Oklahoma City almost longer than the time that he's actually been there. He hasn't been any place as long as Oklahoma City, but he's been gone longer than he's been there. And now they're saying, let's gin up the drama to watch KD and this team watch the Oklahoma City Thunder receive their rings and everything else. Or, Dan, is it, we think this is the Western Conference Finals. We think the Oklahoma City Thunder and Houston Rockets will be in the Western Conference Finals this May. And if that's the case, okay, I'm willing to listen. I'm not saying sign me up yet, but I'm willing to listen to that.
I mean, it could be a preview, but I think this is more about the former and then just wanted to create whatever drama and narrative that they can. KD, obviously going to a new team. It's the Houston Rockets, the young Houston Rockets, who went out early in the first round last year, and they're going to be an ascending team. They're going to be good. I think this is more about the pettiness of them being like, oh, let's put KD under the bright lights of what he couldn't do in Oklahoma City. But as you said, like, he doesn't care about this. Like, he'd much rather take to Twitter and deal with those trolls than whatever narratives the NBA or media wants to create or generate from him, you know, feeling a type of way of going back to Oklahoma City, watching them raise a banner in front of him. But either way, I'm actually really excited for that game. I'd rather watch that than the Steph LeBron game that we've seen so many times. And yeah, this could be the last time, but who the hell honestly knows, man? Like, Bron could just be like, all right, I'm lacing him up again, and we wouldn't be surprised. So yeah, for me, I'd actually really just like to see what this Houston Rockets team looks like with KD there, looking at Amen Thompson, because I think they're going to be ready. And you know how those teams that are raising the banners always seem to have some kind of a lull when they come out there. So that'll be a good way to kind of set the stage for the Houston Rockets.
You know what I'm looking forward to? Give me 48 minutes, NBA 2K style. I'm not sure if they do this because I stopped playing the video games a while ago. Maybe I need to get back into it.
I need to get back into it too, honestly.
But give me 40 plus minutes of SGA against the twin. No help. No, don't give me no screens. Don't give me no trickeration. I want to see that one-on-one matchup. I want to see maybe arguably the best perimeter defender in the basketball against arguably the best one-on-one player at his position in basketball. Now, that I want to see. I want to see Amen Thompson. I want to see Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Even more than I want to see Kevin Durant return back to OKC and watch his emotions or whatever you think his emotions are or will be in that state. Kevin Durant is so chill. When they raise the banner, KD might give them a round of applause himself. You already see on Twitter, he said, about damn time y'all did something. It took you long enough. Like, he already said, like, hey, y'all should have won something already. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's a little shade, but I think that for all the animus that could exist from the Oklahoma City organization to Kevin Durant, if it's still there, hopefully people will have let it go by now. And that this is not a moment. And this is a person, I am one of the pettiest human beings you will ever come across. So I'm probably talking out of both sides of my mouth. But at this point, you should probably let this go.
Gotta let it go. Just let it go. And so at the same time we're letting that go, the NBA is milking as much as they can out of this Steph and LeBron thing.
Yes.
And,
yes.
And yeah, maybe it's... I think maybe it could be Svelte Luka. I mean, it'd be cool seeing him if he's actually, you know, we're going to get to see him play for Slovenia in the Eurobasket. But seeing him come in fully healthy was also going to be a narrative. I want to see, what does DeAndre Ayton even look like with this team? But yeah, the Warriors that have been surprising because they haven't made any moves, still trying to figure out this Jonathan Kuminga thing. And it's like, the fan base is just yelling, crying, like, bro, Dunleavy, do something. So, like, as exciting as that may seem, like, oh, Steph and LeBron, is this Warriors team that exciting, like, right now to even watch like that? Like, I don't know. They got to do something. We got to figure it out.
It's a weird thing. I will say this. This is as bankable a one-to-one rivalry as we've had in the last 25, 30 years, and maybe even longer. Like, when you talk about player to player, and it's funny because Titus, they're not of similar height. They don't play the same position, not exactly. You know what I mean? Like, Steph isn't as traditional of a point guard. Right. LeBron plays, you know, point forward. But when we think of eras and how eras will be defined, we will think of this as the LeBron-Steph era. It's crazy to even think that Steph has elbowed his way into the conversation of these, maybe not this era, I feel like we're out of the era, right? We've probably long been out of the LeBron-Steph era. Steph won a championship in 22. LeBron's last championship was in the bubble. But I will say this. For those of us who live in the nostalgia, who work in the nostalgia, and part of this NBC thing is playing into the nostalgia of the golden age of the 90s, we don't really remember the last time we saw Magic and Bird playing against each other, because we never would have known that at the end or before the start of the 91-92 season, Magic Johnson would have announced, hey, I got HIV,
right,
and I'm not going to be playing again. I think their last game against each other was like somewhere maybe February or March of 91. And I want to say it was in Boston. I might have to look that up. And I'm sure somebody who's heard this will look this up. But you didn't know when you were watching them play that game. You knew that you weren't going to get many of them because they were both into their 30s. They were both past their absolute peak, and it was heading into the Michael Jordan time. But you still want to cherish those matchups, especially as you watch these old boxers. Mm-hmm. You know, you're getting into the Ali Frazier 3 mm-hmm. element of it, where both guys are past their prime, but you right. can still summon it for a night. So for the fact of this being theater, if we're going to talk about this being theater and maybe neither one of these teams being in the championship conversation, I personally don't have a problem with the league stamping this on opening night. I'd rather see this on opening night than see this on Christmas Day.
Yeah, well, for injury's sake, yeah, yeah. You just never know. But yeah, I think I tend to agree. Like Steph, you said the LeBron and Steph era. I wonder if you flip it and say the Steph and LeBron era, but he hasn't quite passed him yet. But I think that there's a case to be.
LeBron, look, Steph
has some moments though. Like,
If Steph got a fifth ring on LeBron's watch, then baby, we'd have some conversations.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If he get a fifth ring.
Yeah.
A fifth ring. Let me say that again, y'all.
Fifth.
Now, the number five, if you want to go to comedy, there's the Eddie Murphy thing where he was like, five. I have five children. He was imitating Bill Cosby, right? Or the Dave Chappelle thing. One, two, three, four. Fifth. Yeah, yeah. Five means something, right? But in championships, five puts you with Tim Duncan. It puts you with Kobe Bryant. Puts you with Magic Johnson. It puts you one behind Jordan, and ain't nobody catching Jordan in the way that we see it being 6'9" in today's age of parity and all that, right?
Right.
But five, if you get a fifth ring on LeBron's watch, I don't think it's likely. I think we agree it's not likely.
No.
But baby, if that happened, we'd be having some conversations, because right now, I don't think that Steph has elevated himself past LeBron. LeBron has four MVPs and could very well have had five in a row from 2009 to 2013, with the exception of that Derrick Rose year, which I think Derrick Rose won fair and square.
Yeah, no, you're
in
that.
But LeBron was still the best player in basketball his first year in Miami. So, yeah, I'm with you on that one. It's still the LeBron era and the Steph era. But if Steph gets a fifth ring, you think have some uncomfortable conversations.
You think LeBron feels some type of way about that? Being like, it should just be a LeBron era. Like, now he has to share the moment with somebody else, when typically, like, Steph wasn't expected to be anywhere near that defining era, you know, conversation. But, hey.
Look, man. When LeBron left Miami in 2014, I want people to realize this. Like, one, he was crippling the team that had just gone to four straight NBA finals. And there was no other team in the NBA, in the Eastern Conference, excuse me, who looked like they were ready to contend with a LeBron James-led team that featured Kyrie Irving, who was on the come up, and then Kevin Love, who you were going to be swapping out for number one pick Andrew Wiggins, right? The Indiana Pacers were in the conference finals the previous 2 years, but Paul George snapped his leg in two against the basket stanchion right before the 14-15 season that summer. So the team that you had beaten in the last two conference finals were not going to be themselves. He didn't expect Steph Curry to, he didn't see them coming. The Golden State Warriors were some cute and cuddly team that would maybe make it to the second round of the playoffs and get their ass knocked out because they shooting threes and ain't nobody winning the game shooting threes. He didn't see Steph coming. He ain't happy that he got to share the marquee. He thinks he's the greatest player of all time. Of all time. He don't think he got to share the marquee with Michael freaking Jordan.
Yep. Then the babyface assassin is snuck up in there.
Yeah, that's wild.
Sniped
him. And then here's the thing. Watch on the YouTube comments or whatever. People are like, y'all talking about LeBron and Steph again. Y'all, it's August. It's August, y'all.
What you want from us?
All right, cool. But let's move to the Christmas Day games, because the Christmas Day games were also announced. I think they were released right before. I was in Cleveland for NABJ. I remember seeing it from Shams. So here are some of the matchups. Spurs against OKC, which I really like. Mavs, Warriors, Rockets, Lakers, Timberwolves, Nuggets, and of course, like I told y'all before, Knicks, Cavs. They're going to keep giving us Knicks, Cavs. That's like asparagus with your steak. You know what I mean? Like you gonna get Ruth this steak, Chris. But you gonna also get these greens. That's what that is. Now, is there a best Christmas Day game on there for you?
Christmas.
Assuming health. Which we cannot assume. We can't assume health, especially with some of these old dudes. But if we're assuming that everybody's of reasonable health 2 full months into the season.
Yeah, I think Timberwolves Nuggets is probably gonna be the best basketball game. I think Anthony Edwards right now, from what everything that I've read about him being in the gym more, getting his teammates there, encouraging them to get to work and, you know what I'm saying, like get over that hump that they've gone to the Western Conference Finals twice and fell short. That's going to be, I think those are the two sleeping giants in the Western Conference that could easily overtake the Oklahoma City Thunder. So watching them go to bat on Christmas, and I think it's time, as we're just talking about, you know, that LeBron, Steph.
These old dudes.
Get them out. Let's start ushering in the new regime of stardom on Christmas Day. You can't ask for better than Anthony Edwards. So I'm with it.
I think Spurs, Oklahoma City.
Wemby
is going. Skinny Bowl.
We got to get him out there, man.
Skinny Bowl. Wemby versus, which I can't. We need to find a new nickname for Wemby. We can't be out here calling no grown man Wemby. Big Vic against Chet, right? Like the skinny dudes battling for their corners, right? This is Avon versus Marlowe. You know what I mean? Like that's what this is in terms of NBA Skinny Bowl. That's what this is. Somebody's coming for their corners. And I think, you know, look, if Victor Wembanyama didn't exist, we'd be saying Chet Holmgren has broken the mold of what it's like in this market. A five who could handle the ball, who can protect the paint, who can play make, who can defend, who can finish, who can score at all three levels, except Victor Wembanyama exists. Like, if I'm Chet Holmgren, I gotta be mad as hell. I would be getting all the endorsement money. He got the pork chop sideburns. He's got some swag to him. He look like he high all the time. Like, he would have all of the marketing things if Victor Wembanyama didn't exist. That's the game I want to see some real, like, and they don't like each other. Like, that's the other part of it. They don't like each
Ooh,
other.
I didn't know there was smoke.
This started before they got to the league. I think they knew. You know, like, I would tell you from when I was playing, if I saw some little dude who was left-handed like me, oh, I'm going for his neck. I don't even know your name. I'm going for your neck, dog. Because it's only room for one of us here. And it's going to be me. Nah, that's what I was
lefty
younger.
Though?
Yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah.
Oh, you a lefty? Okay, okay.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. My game was...
I hate the lefties.
My game was Nick Van Exel, Damon Stoudemire.
Okay.
Like, streaky shooter. I'm ambidextrous.
Okay.
So you think I'm right-handed, and then next thing you know, I'm blowing by you for a bucket. Like, that was, you know, that was my game back in the, you know, way back in the day. I'm past that, all that stuff now. But yeah, there. But I'm with you, and I'm going to ask you. I'm not going to ask you to preview anything because we're going to talk about maybe who could MVPs be. You just talked about Anthony Edwards. Are you saying, folks, Dan Titus could be saying that Anthony Edwards could very well be most valuable player? I'm just saying, it could be on the next segment. He could be saying that the Ant-Man could be elbow away in his room in there to be playing, you know, 82 games, both ends of the floor, you know. I could see that.
I don't think he's going to be MVP, but like he's definitely going to be, I feel like he's going to be in the conversation, like top 3 to 5 consideration. It could be as high. It could be high. It could be 1-2, but I think he's going to be settling that 3-5, which is still a substantial leap for him. Like right now, I think he's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 shortest odds to be MVP. So he's already in the conversation, actually. So we could see it.
Yeah. Yeah. And look, I think Mavs Warriors could be good, even though Kyrie won't be there. Rockets Lakers, we talked about that. The Greybeards, KD, LeBron.
Yeah.
You know, LeBron hasn't announced anything. Whatever it is, Kevin Durant's in New Jersey. It feels a little different, but there you go. So when we come back, though, when we come back, we're going to talk about teams making a huge leap, and we're going to talk about award predictions right here on The Good Word. Welcome back to The Good Word here with Dan Titus. Dan, now we're getting around to the point where all the major transactions have, you know, settled itself out. You still got the Kuminga stuff that's out there. You still got some restricted free agents who are barren in this market. And baby, that it don't look good. If you get to restricted free agency, there's no such thing of it as restricted free agency anymore. You better get your extensions before, which means Jalen Duren, Jaden Ivey in Detroit. Get your business. Detroit, get your business with them done. Nobody wants to walk into a season where you got two young players, or even if you get one done and the other not done, that just creates a weird dynamic because restricted free agency stinks. And we got a lot of people to thank for that and not enough time to thank for that.
CJ. Oh, God.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. There you go. There you go. That was like this meeting I was at this one time. Dan, over the weekend, this meeting I was at, and people were having to do like roll call, and this one guy announced himself, and I was like, I'm simp. you know what I mean? Nobody heard it. I don't think anybody heard it. But, you know, yeah, there was that, right? So, okay, cool. Anyway, teams to make a major, major leap next season. Now, I think we both kind of agree that the San Antonio Spurs, right, are in line to make a leap. They didn't get to play often with De'Aaron Fox and Victor Wembanyama. Victor Wembanyama only played, 46 games last year. They were, I think, 21-25 when he played. But we still look at them as a team. They won 34 games last year. Do we look at them as a team that's going to flip that? Are they going to be 48-34? Or is it going to be a 42-43 win team scraping that play-in discussion?
Yeah, I think that's the question I have is like, where is their standing going to be? Are they going to be bottom tier of this Western Conference, like play-in conversation? Are they going to be firmly in it, like six seed? Right now, their win total is sitting at 43.5. So I feel like that, man, a healthy Wemby with this squad. Everyone's hating on De'Aaron Fox for getting his paper. You get the second pick in the draft, you luck into that. I think this team's going to be better. 44 wins, that's a pretty big jump from 34 that they got last year. So I'm betting the over on it because I think this is the moment where we're going to see Wemby. Bro, this man was chilling with Monks, playing with Kevin Garnett. What more can he prove to you that he is a basketball junkie? And if that's the case, if he can stay healthy, man, this is a 47, 48 win team. So I think that they're going to probably take the biggest leap in terms of win margin from previous season.
Look, man, he was the golden child. I don't know if y'all actually seen that movie, because it's one of those Eddie Murphy Lost Files movies.
It really is.
Where, you know, you don't think about it too much because he's got so many. He went through his, you know, Bachelor movies. He went to like the Shrek movies. Then he went to like, I'm dressing up as a fat person era. Like all those different iterations of Eddie Murphy. But the movie The Golden Child, that's what reminded me of Victor Wembanyama. And then he's out there hanging with Mr. Mean, Kevin Garnett. Like getting a little bit of that extra nasty to him. Yep. So yeah, I'm with you. And I think people are looking at it. Oh, you got too many point guards. I don't think in today's game you can have too many people who can set up Victor Wembanyama.
Yeah.
I just don't. I think, look, if you can have as many people that he can run pick and roll with, that he can feed off of without making the game hard for him, I think that is an excellent strategy. And you did not trade for De'Aaron Fox to not pay him. I understand that circumstances change.
Right.
And when you traded for him, you needed a point guard that you could build around for the future. And De'Aaron Fox came on the market. You got a relationship with Clutch. Boom, it happens. But you cannot abandon that. Hey, that would be bad business, for one. Let's be perfectly honest. That'd be really bad business just because you got, you know, a really high draft pick in Dylan Harper, who I think is going to be really good.
Yeah.
Right? He's got a pro body. He's quick. He gets to the bucket. I like that. You can never have too many of those people. I think before you could never have too many bigs. And then we went through a phase where you could never have too many wings, right?
Yeah.
Now I feel like we're getting to the point, or maybe we're at the point where you can never have too many people who can create their own shot and get their own shot and set up your generational franchise big man. So I'm not too down on the Spurs as a team building outfit. Plus, add to the fact their team trajectory is not to have to win a championship this year. You can figure out the, you can figure it out in training camp, and figure it out on the floor, and figure it out in real time, and not worry about a log jam in August. I ain't worrying about a damn log jam in August.
No, they'll figure it out. And
yeah,
it's not like De'Aaron Fox isn't, you know, a pro here. I mean, like, as much as they're invested in him now, you know, 3 years from now, 4 years from now, he'll have the player option. Like, they can move on, and Dylan Harper will still be coming in, become eligible for his rookie extension. So, like, it just, to me, it just seems like they're building a pipeline for Dylan Harper eventually to be the guy. And if it works out with De'Aaron Fox in the meantime, maximize Wemby, let's get it. So, yeah, yeah. I have no issue with them paying him, and the moves that they also, quiet moves that they may get in Luke Kornet, get somebody else to fortify that front court with them. They're going to be better.
In the Eastern Conference, Orlando looks to be the most obvious team when you look at some of the youth that they have, when you look at Paolo Banchero and Wagner, and the fact that they didn't play together hardly at all last year. They were 41-41. I love Jamal Mosley as a head coach and as a leader in figuring it out and growing with that team as they grow. The question is too much positional and space on the floor duplication with Wagner and with Paolo Banchero? You know, do you see it that way, or do you see them being able to grow together and being able to alleviate pressures off of each other in an Eastern Conference where everybody's going to be looking at them as one of the teams that we expect to make a leap? That's why we're talking about them right now.
Yeah, I think that they're going to figure this out, and I think it helps that they got a floor spacer in Desmond Bane in this offseason. Acquiring him, I think, was like the game changer. But then also, a lot of their season last year, their success hinged on Jalen Suggs' health. And I think if he can stay healthy, and then you add in Desmond Bane, this is a 50-plus win team. Right now, the market has them at 51.5, right beneath the New York Knicks at 52.5. I'd be pretty bullish on the Orlando Magic because Paolo Banchero is that guy, like, similar to Ant, where it's like kind of like the NBA is just looking for that face. This guy has the numbers. He's kind of like, to me, he kind of plays like a LeBron, but like not, like he's not as athletic, obviously, but back to the basket, he can do the Carmelo things. He's just waiting to be marketed better. And I think that this is the time where you'll see Orlando Magic get more time on screen, on ESPN, on NBC, on Amazon in the future. This is going to be a big opportunity for the Orlando Magic to kind of stake their claim in the Eastern Conference. And they should finish within the top three seeds. It will be close with them. You know, Cleveland, New York, and probably the Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah, it's the Eastern Conference will be a lot more intriguing this year. Maybe not good. I think intriguing is the word. Interesting is the word when you have Atlanta, who I think is going to make a really big jump with some of the personnel moves that they've made. Yeah. Detroit could wind up, that Beasley thing hurts, but so much internal growth, so much continuity there. Like, I know people say, Vinny, you're in Detroit. Yes, of course I am. Yeah. All right, whatever, right? That's not that. This ain't the Bad Boys, y'all.
Yeah, you can still talk objectively about them. Like,
yeah, you know what I mean? Like, y'all, come on now. Let's be serious. Like, they have bona fides there. Like, Asar Thompson is going to improve. Ron Holland is going to improve. Kay Cunningham, great. Like, all their young guys, even if they don't improve at exactly the same trajectory, they're going to have incremental growth, let alone whatever Jaden Ivey returns to form. He has not played basketball.
Yeah.
Since January 1st, when Cole Anthony decided to use his leg, you know, as a projectile. You know, like, who the hell knows, right? But I do think that that is the team, even if they don't win the same amount of games, they'll be better this season. But I think Orlando, from the standpoint of winning games, they could, you know, they could wind up being better. Now, this is where we get to the awards part, and y'all don't hold me to this. These are just, I'm just having fun here. But when we think about most valuable player, who jumps out to you as a likely, maybe say likely candidate, but as of right now, who are you looking at?
Right now, I'm looking at, I mean, Jokic is obviously the easy answer. SGA is also a very easy answer, but I'm going to go with Luka because I think right now the narrative is already being shaped. He's taking things seriously. Look at Luka. Look at all this potential. Like, I think Luka, the NBA has been waiting for Luka to be that to be that guy. Now that he's in LA, full season, off season to prepare. LeBron's clearly, you know, he's not in their future plans. At least it doesn't seem like that right now. I think this is where the pendulum swings and we see Luka get 38-8. He's going to have the numbers. It's going to be up there with SGA, with Jokic. And I think he could definitely get MVP. This could be the first one for him.
Yeah, and Luka's right at that age that we consider, or we say we consider, because I don't even think we realize it, but Luka's right at the age where we start seeing MVPs growing into their full selves. And we think of a player's prime being from 27 to 32. Like, statistically, that's what the numbers say and everything else. But from the last 10 years, y'all, the average age of the MVP is 26 and a half. Right? Young man's game. That's why I talked about LeBron and Steph and KD. Young man's game. Even Jokic is now entering into, I'm in my 30s now. This is a different discussion. I still think because of the way Oklahoma City plays, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander having the ball in his hands as much as he does with the way that they played. Like, I don't think there's going to be much drop off as far as winning production. You got to win games. Like, my personal MVP standard, you got to win 50 games. Like, since post-merger, playoff expansion, media voting, that's 1984, right? 40 plus years. There's been one time, y'all, that in a regular full season of 82 games, someone won MVP on a team that did not win 50 games. Do you know who that was, Dan Titus?
That did not win 50 games. Oh, no, it wasn't him. Oof. Yeah, this is tough. I was going to say Barkley, but I feel like they won 60 that year.
They didn't win 62 that year.
Yeah.
They were a monster. Yeah. A monster. The answer is Russell Westbrook in his triple-double season.
Russ.
Ladies and gentlemen, didn't vote for Russ that year. No shade to Russ, right? But because we were obsessed with the number 10, we decided to give the MVP to Russ. Similar in the way that you were talking about Luka, the narrative was being crafted from that summer. He hit the "Now I Do What I Want" commercial, you know, after Kevin Durant left and everything else. And it was like, man, Russ could average a triple-double. You know what we should do? We should give him MVP. And that's what people did. And that's the MVP that is one of those, which one of these things is not like the other?
Right.
That one. We had no business doing that. Whatever. But to the point, as a young man's game, the average MVP of his 27 years old, I'm still going to pick Shai. Here are my two sort of outliers. My two outliers is Giannis Antetokounmpo, who is on the older side.
I was going to say that too, but if they get, if they sneak into that three seed, you can't, bruh.
it's tough. Like, let's just,
he got
let's
no
just say
help.
This.
Like, what? Like, this is, yeah. Giannis could definitely do it. I like that.
If Giannis is carrying what we consider an undermanned Bucks team, you know, they signed Miles Turner to big money at free agency that nobody expected and everything else, and the stretch Damian Lillard, you know, after his Achilles injury, and people think, oh, the Bucks are going to slide out, Giannis is going to ask out. If he goes balls to the wall for 82 games using the Russell Westbrook paradigm, which has shown that we will vote as a voting block, we will vote for players on overachieving teams. If they get to 50 in the Eastern Conference, like, this looks like one of those Doc Rivers coach of the year joints. Like, we think Doc Rivers can't coach, and then you give him an undermanned team and they get 50 plus wins out of their behinds. And we're like, man, Doc Rivers is a great coach. No, he's just a great coach for certain types of teams that'll put a scare into your ass. And then you give Giannis on a mission. Yeah, I can see that happening, even though Giannis will be 31 in December. The other guy, and granted, this will be some recency or regional bias, what if Cade Cunningham takes a leap this year?
Ooh.
He profiles similar to the Luka Doncic sort of archetype. Like, but I tend to think with you that he and Anthony Edwards are in that next tier of MVP candidates. But he got a taste of what the playoffs looked like last year. And I don't think that set well with him that you lose all three games on your home floor, that your last shot came up short on the second to last possession or third to last possession in regulation against the Knicks in game six. And he's already a high usage, a lot of minutes, a lot of games guy. I wonder if the Pistons are better than people expect, could he wind up entering? It's going to be someone that enters into the conversation because there's going to be a team that enters into the conversation, particularly in the Eastern Conference where someone's going to win 50 games that you don't expect. And you're going to look at him and say, man, does he look like an MVP? Because we didn't expect much out of him or them before the season began.
Yeah, the one team I'm not expecting to see, I mean.
I know what you're about to say.
I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it.
No, do it. Do it. Do it. Give it to me. Give it to me. Give it to me.
Because I'm looking at the Eastern Conference and I'm like, I mean, Cleveland's expected to be good, right? So I don't think Donovan Mitchell is going to be up there. The Knicks have the second highest win total. Like, you could have Brunson in that conversation if they can get to 60 plus. But the surprise is going to be no, it's not going to get there. It's not going to get there. It's not going to get there. It's not going to get there.
Say it. Say it.
No, I'm not doing it, man. I just ain't a Sixers spot. They ain't going to do it. They ain't nowhere close to that. No, I think
that's,
that's
what I wanted him to say.
I'm not going
to
do it.
I wanted him to say
I'm not going
to
do it.
76ers.
I'm not going to do it. Because the only person I feel like that might be able to do it, because right now their win total is sitting at 43.5. If Joel Embiid does not play a portion of this season and somehow Tyrese Maxey becomes the leader of this team and they get to like 50 wins, it's unexpected, but I think he's also a guy that kind of fits into that window of, you know, age coming in, stardom. But I think he's more on that Anthony Edwards, Cade Cunningham timeline. But also, I have questions of whether, I don't know that he can carry a team like that for an entire season, but we'll see.
Yeah, at that size. And it's nothing against him. It's
nothing
only been
yeah.
literally a handful of players. And by handful, like, I mean
Derrick Rose, Allen Iverson,
Isaiah,
right.
Stephen Curry. Like, those are the guys
literally
who can carry a franchise for 82 games with the rigors of this league on their shoulders. Now, before we get to the last word, we have to talk about Michael Porter Jr. I don't know if we should continue giving him microphones.
No. Cut that
or take off. Microphones away. I don't know if y'all heard what he said. The audio sounds better than the way I will read it, right? It sounds better than how I will read it, but I will read to y'all what he said. He talked about sports gambling. Now, keep in mind, his brother Jonte was the first major name in the NBA that was nailed for sports gambling, right? Remember, this is his brother. And he's saying how easy it is, how easy it would be for someone to get sucked into sports gambling.
Hypothetically.
Hypothetically. Allegedly. Here I go, y'all. If y'all homies bet 10K on my under this one game, I'm going to act like I got an injury and they all get a bag. Okay. If your homies... And you, and the other part was just like, you know, they don't come up from nothing. They don't have nothing, blah, blah, blah. Where are your homies getting 10 grand from, Michael Porter Jr.? Like, before we get into the absurdity of everything you just said, if your homies is broke, all of them, maybe they all together could scrounge up 10 grand.
Right.
But if you all your homies individually bet 10 grand on your unders, A, you're going to jail, right? Let me be Barack Obama clear. Let me be clear. You're going to jail. And you just said this shit on a podcast. Are you a plum fool? What are you doing?
This is on the heels of him just throwing his brother under the bus saying that his vices was gambling and Mike's vices was women and... Bro, he's a clown. Like, I just don't, like, yes, I appreciate for the entertainment value of what he's saying, but, like, also, like, just shut up, bro. Like, don't say the quiet part out loud. Like, you don't need to be arrogant, especially when this is your brother. Your brother is literally going through this. He has been banned from the NBA. And yet you still are talking about, oh, well, yeah. Well, it, you know what I'm saying? I could just, you know, take myself out the game and call an injury, whatever. We all get paid. Clown, certified clown.
Okay, y'all. Look, I understand. You don't want to give your homies just money out your pocket. You know what I mean? Just tell them to go play and have a great life or whatever it is. But you don't have to do this. Like, nobody has to do this. And don't get me wrong. I will say this, and I will be very clear. I will say something blue in the face. Pro sports leagues having business relationships with gambling out in the open makes them complicit to the hypocrisy of all this while still knowing Vegas is going to be big brother and be the ones catching. The league ain't going to be the ones catching it. The league doesn't have the mechanisms in place to catch it. It will always be Vegas because you have to preserve the integrity of sport. Like, so much of this, everything of this, y'all, when I say everything of this, I want to impress upon y'all how serious this is. Like, we're cracking these jokes about how stupid Michael Porter sounded in saying this. Everything that we talk about, when we talk about Amazon being involved and ESPN and NBC, the biggest, most valuable commodity in today's media is live sports rights. In this media, the streaming world, this cord-cutting world, live sports rights is the single most valuable commodity in entertainment and television, which explains the $4 billion valuations for teams, which explains the rising salaries for players for playing the game with integrity. If all of a sudden y'all think this becomes WWE, y'all gonna wind up becoming WCW. I remember what happened to that?
Ask Eric
Damn,
Bischoff.
Fool.
Damn.
What the hell's wrong? What? Dog.
Pardon
if
me?
If it's your brother that's involved in gambling, and the case is still somewhat in, you know, being adjudicated. You cannot be out here telling people, yeah, that's my brother's vice. You know, me, my vice is women. You could have stopped that. My vice is women. We didn't have to know that.
He's just volunteering this, by the way, in case you didn't know my brother.
Dog!
Yeah,
like,
man.
Like, you, everybody got the homie that ain't quite smart. No. Everybody got the homie that says the thing out loud that you shouldn't quite say. Sometimes that's the smart person that just doesn't have, like, the sense of, you know, social awareness, and he just says the thing or whatever it is. And if it's a smart person, it's usually not going to be the dumb thing, right? But Michael Porter Jr., let me say something to you. If you're the person who just got traded from the Denver Nuggets to the Brooklyn Nets because we don't know if you bring it every night, and then you say, you know what? Man, I just take, y'all take the under. I don't feel good tonight. Y'all gonna clean up?
Bruh, he already set himself up for all that. And to that point, it makes you wonder, getting Cam Johnson, trading Cam Johnson for Michael Porter Jr. just off the strength of this alone, I might be moving Denver up my, you know, the power rankings list. Because if this fool was in your locker room talking that, like, That cannot be productive for your basketball.
I don't even know where this ranks. I don't even know where this ranks on Michael Porter Jr.'s greatest hits of stuff that he has said.
Yeah.
There's other things I could point out, but this ain't a political podcast. I will just leave it at that. Last thing before we get to the last word, Bradley Beal, I don't know if he was at his basketball camp.
Yeah.
In St. Louis. He's a St. Louis guy. He threw out the first pitch. You know, someone asked him, you know, why did he go to the Clippers after being bought out from the Phoenix Suns, excuse me. And he said, quote, I need a ring. I want one bad. I feel like I've got a new life of rejuvenation for sure. And I firmly believe that because I think he felt that way in Phoenix. And I think people looked at him like he was the odd piece. He was the reason why this thing in Phoenix didn't work. That thing in Phoenix was doomed from before he got there. If you saw how that outfit looked, even a year before when it was Chris Paul and KD and DeAndre Ayton and Booker, that thing just was not going to work. What happens is if you have the stink on you from a situation that didn't work, we tend to undervalue you individually.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying that Bradley Beal is Kyrie Irving going from Brooklyn to Dallas and then helping Dallas get to the NBA Finals. But I am saying that if you think he's a guy who doesn't have anything left, you're going to be sadly mistaken. I think he needs to be in a situation where you don't need him to be one of your first, second, or third best players at this stage of his career, and he can wind up being helpful. And I think that's where he is with the Clippers. The problem is all them dudes is old.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could say like the depth is an advantage to them because even though they got a bunch of old heads, they should be able to load manage and manage their wear and tear pretty well because they're so deep. Like, I like that they got John Collins. You still got Nick Batum there. You still got Derrick Jones Jr. Like, they got depth. So, yeah, Bradley Beal, I think this is actually probably the best situation for him. Like, he doesn't have to. Like, what he is now, like, you're not expecting him to be the number one, number two option. But, like, as a number three with Kawhi and James, like, that's a solid bet. I mean, he's shooting, what, 40% damn near from three last year. Last three seasons, he shot nearly 50% from the field. Like, that's just an efficient bucket getter and who can also play make when he wants to. So I think my biggest question is, can he stay healthy? And if he can stay healthy, I don't know, man. I think people are sleeping on the Clippers. They're right now, their win total is sitting at like 46.5, but like they could easily be in that conversation for top three team in the Western Conference if they can stay healthy. But I think that's just the huge if.
Yeah, and Brad has played 53 games the last 2 years. Like you said, super, super efficient. And he can play off of other people as primary scorers. You can't shade your best defender to him because you got to keep James occupied. You got to have Kawhi occupied if he's out there. You know, like there's ways that he can exploit playing for the Clippers to his advantage at his age. I think he's going to be 32 this year. So, but when we come back, though, we just talked podcast. We said who shouldn't have a mic. Maybe we should talk about who should. Time for the last word here with Dan Titus. This is a producer Dakota special. I'm going to flip it just a little bit. Which NBA player, current or past, do you want to see with a podcast? But before I ask Dan of his answer, I'm going to tell you who I don't want to see with a podcast. All right? I'm going to tell you the number one person I do not want to see with a podcast. And it's not because I think he's boring. And it's not that I don't think he'll say anything interesting. It's because we just don't need him with a podcast. Ant-Man. We don't need to see Anthony Edwards with a podcast because we're trying to love you. And people, and you know, with Ant and where he come from and everything else, like, he's so freaking interesting. But there's still, like shaving, moving around the edges and everything else. And then there's stuff that people, you know, do know or don't know if they pay attention to the gossip blogs and everything else. We just don't need to know more about him than we already do while he's still figuring out life. Like, when Ant is done figuring out life, when he has figured out life, at he's like age 30 and he can teach the youth and he can talk about where he's teach been and stuff youth. Like that. That's where I want to see Anthony Edwards with a podcast, when he's 30. Not when he's 22, 23. Nah, I want to wait. I want to wait a few more years just for some extra seasoning, some extra Lowry, some extra Old Bay on that. I don't want, although it would be entertaining as hell. Like, if he could do a podcast and it could not reach the public and it could just be like 10 of our friends, oh, I'm down for that. But we as a public couldn't handle that. So I will tell you who I do want to have a podcast, and I want to see what Dan thinks of this. Give me the Thompson twins.
Ooh.
Because I think those boys are interesting as all hell. Like, it's weird like when you that. Think of when what people have told me, actually what Asar and Amen have both told me, is that, you know, Amen is the more aggressive one on the floor. Asar is the more vocal one off the floor, the more of the leader off the floor. So that creates an interesting dynamic amongst the two. And they're twins that you can only really tell apart if you've been around them enough. Like, they are the most identical of identical twins, but I can easily tell them apart, not because I've been around one longer than I've been around the other and I can kind of figure it out now, but I think they would be super, super interesting.
No, I love that. I can't say enough about how much I'm a fan of the Thompson twins, and watching, like, just the brother dynamic, I think would be cool. You could kind of play off like the New Heights with Jason and Travis Kelce. Like, I think that they could have a, It'd be cool to see a brother vibe.
We got
also,
twins too. It ain't just them.
True.
The blacks make twins. We genetically can make twins. It's actually a lot of twins in my family, to be perfectly honest. Like I'm afraid to actually have a baby because I'm like, man, don't let that twin gene come.
Nah, you don't want a 2-for-1 special, bro. That's overrated. I was thinking more on the lines, like, I would love a Thompson twins podcast. Someone needs to do that. Mine's boring as hell though. Like, I'm on that Mike mind the game energy of like, all right, let me just, who talks ball really well on some, like when Kobe had that deal with ESPN and was doing like that detail thing and they
detail,
got
Peyton
Manning doing that thing. I feel like Chris Paul will be good for that. But then also like he's got the business side of basketball. He's been in the league for 20 years. Everybody hates him. So I think it'd be cool to bring back some people that obviously have beef with him. So it could be spicy, but then also educational.
Wait, are you saying bring on DeMarcus Cousins and be like, hey, on the replay, here's where I kicked you in the ding ding. This is what I was thinking about, y'all. Is that what you're saying? That's what you want to see? You want to see Chris Paul's greatest hit?
Yo, that's crazy. That's crazy. Yo, see, Chris Paul's greatest hits is actually crazy. So I would put him in that bucket. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could probably put, I think from a joy of the game and just joy of life type of podcast, I think Tyrese Maxey would be really good for that. Like,
kid's
like the happiest kid in the world. I feel like him and Jerry McCain actually would probably be a pretty interesting.
Oh, yeah, that'd be actually really fun. That'd
really
be
interesting
really fun.
Podcast for the kids, the Gen Zers out there.
I like that.
And then I guess also the one storyteller that I feel like could tell probably a million stories that never talks about is James Harden and just what his life is outside of basketball. I'd be very curious about that. Zion.
We don't hear much because James don't really talk like that.
He doesn't. And that's why I'm like, there's certain people that are the quiet ones in the room that I'm like, yeah, I'm curious. Like, what are you actually doing? Versus
you want
the
Kawhi
ones.
Leonard podcast? Is that what you want? What it do, baby?
Yo, that would be wild too. I feel like Kawhi probably has the wildest like circle of people in his camp of like, oh, I actually like rock with Kawhi Leonard that you would never expect. I'll tell you, the one person I think I'd be done with a podcast. I'm good on podcast P. It was good, but like just retire, stop doing the podcast and then do it when you're done playing ball again. I don't need that.
Look, I'm all for these guys having a voice. I'm not going to be someone even in this media space to tell someone that they should shut up. Like that ain't really, you know, my gift.
Except Michael Porter Jr. But
sometimes you got to chill. Last thing, and this just came in. It's reported by Sportico, I believe, and later Shams Charania of ESPN or vice versa. I'm not sure. Maybe it came across as Shams and I've seen other people say Sportico, but whatever. The Portland Trailblazers sold from the Paul G. Allen Trust to NHL owner, I believe, of the Carolina Hurricanes, Tom Dundon for $4 billion, y'all. $4 billion. And you're thinking like, man, that is a huge number for a team that needs a new arena, right? Even though I love the Motor Center and I love the location, I just love Portland as a whole. Like Portland is one of those sort of undiscovered gems on sort of the NBA beat. Like when I was a beat writer, like Portland would be one of those places like, man, I can't wait to get to Portland, i.e. I can't wait to get to Nike. But, you know, one of those places, right?
Yeah.
But just the crazy numbers. Like we only know but so much about him. He came from the venture capitalist world. He owns the, like I said, the Carolina Hurricanes. He also owns pickleball.com. So clearly he's getting on the ground floor of a lot of different things. Something tells me that if he's buying it for $4 billion, this might be worth a lot more.
I mean, I think a lot of the moves that they made potentially probably helped increase that valuation a little bit, like bringing back Damian Lillard. You know, if you're trying to sell tickets, that's the way to do it. You now have the Asian market with Young Hansen. This is a good, I mean, it's a good team. I think they're going to be a lot better this year. So, you know, for $4 billion, considering that the Celtics went for six, seems like probably pretty decent value.
Lakers went for 10.
Right. So, I mean, I think he kind of swooped in Tom Dundon. If he's a venture capital guy, obviously he's good with finances and money. That could actually be a really good deal. Shout out to the Paul Allen Trust who bought the franchise for $70 million and flipping it for $4 billion. That's a that's a nice little W on the balance sheet there.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's all of the owners who are who have were old money, like the old old money. Now it's a lot of new money. So many teams have changed hands since the 2011 collective bargaining agreement, which lets you know how big of an investment the NBA is when the VCs are in it and are taking over. But that, ladies and gentlemen, is my man Dan Titus. You can check Dan Titus and his workout here at Yahoo Sports. I appreciate you, my man.
No doubt, Vin.
Thanks to Dan. Thanks to producer Dakota, who does all the work behind the scenes on this show. I'll be back next week with a guest for another episode of The Good Word. Until then, everybody be safe.